Extra seven.
As Mo would say to Curly, spread out. Everybody's spread out here. I can see that. Okay, we'll go ahead and pray. And Lord, I do ask you to help us to understand the words. I pray you'd help us to know how to apply your words to ourselves to this day. Help us to thank you for them. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, the way the Bible is laid out, specifically in the Gentile Bible, which would be our English Bible, is a pre-tribulation, pre-millennial fashion. Okay, the Jewish Bible, obviously the Jewish people do not accept the New Testament, but their Old Testament is the same as ours, or ours is the same as theirs, with the exception that they put them in different order. So we have 39 books in our Old Testament. They have 39, but they place them in different order. Okay, and the reason why that's significant is that we go to Jesus Christ for the authority of the Scriptures, and he stated what would be the Scriptures of his day, and that would be our Old Testament. Okay, so we got that for the Old Testament. And then the largest book in the Bible is Isaiah, which has 66 chapters, and that would match the 66 books of the Bible. So we're in Ezra, and we study through the Bible. We remember the historical time period. Some of these things may or may not apply to us individually, but we take an interest in it because God takes an interest in it. And so he records this, and what he does in Ezra 7, something that's kind of unique in the books of the Bible, where this character Ezra, he doesn't show up in this book until chapter 7. He's not even mentioned in the first six chapters, and that's the only book in the Bible like that. And so what that does is evidently something that he did that the Lord wanted to honor him by giving this book his name for the title. Okay, where Zerubbabel, would that be quite of a name to have? Zerubbabel? Zerubbabel? He is the guy that was a part of building the Jewish temple, and then they quit because of a government entity, you know, some fire marshal, some building code dude, stopped the building, scared the people, and then two guys named Haggai and Zechariah, that's the two prophets at the end of the Old Testament, told the people, hey, get back with the program. It's interesting to me that in American history, and in Bible history, it was the prophets or the priests that encouraged the people to stand against tyranny when need be. But where are the preachers today about this stuff we got going on? Where are they at? Some of them are starting to come out of the woodwork, but they're kind of slow on the draw here. Supposed to be vigilant. And they're not doing that. They're too comfortable, I guess. So Ezra chapter, last week we just started to Ezra. Remember that one evidence, there's many evidences of the Bible to prove it. Like the one guy said, how do you know the Bible is the Word of God? He said, because of the yellow pages, which is weird. And he said, look in the yellow pages, how many Jewish names occur. In attorneys, in doctors, and all that stuff. Look at the Nobel Prize winners. How many Jewish people get the Nobel Prize? Now, I do know that that's may or may not be a good thing because Obama got the Nobel Prize, which was a joke. Okay, but isn't it interesting that the Jewish nation has a nation restored in 1948? That is the greatest miracle since the resurrection of Christ. Why is it that way? When President Trump officially said that Jerusalem is the capital of Israel, why was that a big deal? It is a big deal. Okay, and so he is one of the few political figureheads that will say something that would promote the Bible and or Scripture. We're going to read another one here in Artaxerxes. Okay, and these are rare. Most international leaders are tyrants. That's a rule of thumb. Okay, and so the exception proves the rule. Exception doesn't overthrow the rule. So you have some exceptions throughout history. Cyrus was one exception. Lord Balfour was another. There were two men that authorized the Jews to go back and build Jerusalem. President Trump, I don't know. I've not seen in my lifetime a president mention Jesus Christ the way he did, and then Jerusalem on the Capitol, and then I've never seen in my lifetime when another president is in office, everybody's still screaming about them wanting the former one. Never seen that before. Something is really strange going on. And if you're on Telegram, anybody on Telegram on your phone, your app Telegram, I would encourage you to join John Durham. Okay, he's the one that's doing the indictments. Something seems to be in the workings in the next couple of weeks. Something big. So I've been waiting for a long time, and we've been having a lot of delays. And so either if it's another delay, it's not going to affect my faith. That's for sure. But just something seems to be in the working. Very strange. So Ezra chapter 7, this guy named Ezra, what was he? Okay, if the first verse, you'll see him mentioned, Ezra. And notice all the son of, that's the genealogies of the Bible. Son of this guy, son of that guy, son of this guy, that guy, this guy. And he traces him back to Aaron, the chief priest. You'll see that in verse 5. And in verse 6, he's called a ready scribe. Okay, a ready scribe. A ready, if you have a ready mind. A ready mind is a willing mind. It's a studious mind. It's a sound mind. Somebody who can logically think. Okay, kids are not taught to think in the school system. They're taught to consume information, be it right, be it wrong. If they would think, I think they would have a lot of questions. I remember in high school in earth science class, me walking up to the teacher and sensing something about the creator of the universe, and he said, oh, it evolved. I said, no, it didn't. You can have more faith and believe that than I do. And I just walked away from the guy. And so so you think these things through Ezra. Okay, do you remember, pop quiz, what was the tribe that God chose to be the custodians of the scriptures? Levites. Okay, Levites. So the third book in the Bible, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus. So Leviticus would be the handbook for the Levites. And so they didn't have Xerox machines, and so they hand wrote out the words of scripture on paper, papyrus, whatever you want to call it. And that's what the scribes were supposed to do. They were supposed to preserve the words and then teach the words. And that was Ezra in verse 6. Ezra, and you see down in verse 7, we're still kind of reviewing from last time. New territory, we get down to 11. Levites. Now, why that's significant, and I hate to drag, you know, some detailed boredom here, but in the Christian colleges and in the seminaries and in the monasteries, basically the devil's intent for these groups is to dispel people's belief in the Bible and to push them away from the Bible, saying it's a mystical book, instead of saying it's a book about life. It has governmental principles, economic principles, health principles. And if you can pull all that stuff out of there, but when you think it's a mystical book, people stay away from it, like, you know, like a cat in a room full of rocking chairs. So, and the problem is that these so-called teachers or claiming to be teachers of the Bible don't believe it. And if you don't believe that statement, I would encourage you to do what I did. I wrote schools and asked what they state. I asked them. 20-some colleges and asked questions about the Word of God. And boy, did I learn something there. And I'm like, if you don't believe it, what are you doing with it? But that's a pattern in the Bible. A pattern in the Bible of Satan, his favorite tool to deceive people is the Bible. That's his favorite tool. It's his most effective tool. And what he does is he has whoever using the Bible to deceive will add a word, subtract a word, or change a word. Okay, so you got 39 books, and most probably everybody's heard of what's called the 400 silent years. Okay, so 400 silent years. So Malachi, the last book in our Old Testament, was written about 389 B.C., so from 389 to the New Testament, 400 silent years where God did not write in a book or did not have somebody write in a book. And so from King James today, 1611, so we're sitting at a little over 400 silent years, if the King James is that crowning achievement. And so that was before the first coming and before the second coming. So we are obviously a very close, as far as that goes. But supposedly, the scholars and the Catholic Church will throw in what's called an apocrypha. The word apocrypha means spurious writings. Oh, the big Bible's not there. And so these are called spurious. They were written supposedly during the 400 silent years, and they call it the Septuagint. Everybody remember that name, Septuagint? Oh, wasn't that an exciting name, Sept? Septuagint, 70. But if you read the story of the Septuagint, supposedly a Greek Old Testament that Jesus quoted from. Logically, what do we know about the Jews? What do they think about us Greek or us Gentiles? What do them Jews think about us? They don't think too highly of us. In fact, they don't think we have souls. When you're in Israel, you got to know the money real quick, because when you buy something with cash and they pay the change, a lot of times they won't give you the right change. Stealing from an animal is not theft. And so you have to call them, you know? And so why would the Jewish people want a Greek Testament? It makes zero sense. And so there's no such animal. And if you read, a lot of times what you do is, I don't shy away from reading literature or people who I know would disagree with my viewpoint. In fact, last Friday I watched two videos, Seven Reasons Why the Pre-Tribulation Rapture is a Hoax. Now, I believe in a pre-tribulation rapture. But I wanted to watch scout the opposition. Isn't that what football coaches do? They scout the opposition, right? And I wanted to see what they had to say. And they had to say some lies in order to promote their viewpoint. They had to. They have to. And so I don't shy away from those things at all. The Septuagint, supposedly, here's the history of it. Supposedly, 70 or 72, they can't figure out if it's 70 or 72, their history is kind of sketchy, was authorized to translate the Hebrew Old Testament into Greek, and these guys did it in 70 days. Okay, and supposedly the apocryphal books were written at that time in 200 B.C., but funny thing is those apocryphal books, the oldest one was written 150 B.C., another one was written like 120 B.C., another one was written like 90 B.C., a couple was written like 30 A.D., and somehow mysteriously they got in a translation 200 years before they existed. That's if you read their information. The blessing is that when you read heretical information, you're going to find that it contradicts itself. And in the reference Bible that we produced, right after Malachi, I have silent years. And all I did there in two pages is I read their history and showed, what a thing. There's no such animal as a B.C. Septuagint, but a lot of these guys run to that. And the reason why they run to that is it gives the pastor, the priest, the pope, the rabbis, it gives them the authority. They feel it gives them the authority to change words to make it say what they want it to say. That's why Jesus Christ was crucified. So I'm here to say we've got a perfect Bible in English. And it doesn't have the Apocrypha in it. Okay, and that's part of God's plan. God's plan is to allow counterfeits to exist. Why? To see if we are going to be sincere enough to weed through the weeds to find the truth. Okay, most anything in nature will have a counterfeit. Okay, corn has a counterfeit that you want to get out of the cornfield. Sorghum. A lot of people can't tell the difference. Farmers can. Soybeans. What's the counterfeit of soybeans? The button weed called a velvet leaf. The leaf feels like velvet. But a farmer can spot it like that. But most people will see a button weed along the row of soybeans. If you got it in 30-inch rows, that means that the farmer didn't pull the cultivator fast enough to cover those up in the center. And most people say, well, look at all that, a clean field. No, can't you see all them button weeds along in the center? It's the counterfeit. It will rob moisture from the soybeans. So the Lord allows counterfeiting to take place. Why? To check how sincere we are. That's the intent. It's a masterful plan. And another thing about the Lord, okay, is in chapter 7, verse 9, Ezra shows the most vital things that an individual needs for God to reveal to him something. For it says, Ezra had prepared his heart, so my heart's got to be right, to seek the law of the Lord, so that's me, and to do it. So if there's something in the Bible that I need to change behavior, I will change the behavior. And if it's not an action, it might be an attitude. If it's an attitude, it's to believe it and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. So he was to fulfill his calling, what he's doing. So he had his heart personally prepared to seek. He was going to obey what he understood, and then he's going to teach others. Now, in verse 11, we have a political figurehead, a king, at that time. Okay, so this is going to be a rare bird. You don't find too many politicians promoting something that's of the Bible, except for American history, if you go to the early part of American history. Okay, today it's rare. Ronald Reagan signed a decree for 1983 to be the year of the Bible. And so that was just like a decree. Congress and Senate signed this decree, 1983, the year of the Bible. So that was a rare thing. Okay, but it just kind of came through one year. I've used it in court on a few occasions. The year of the Bible. Kentucky, about 4 years ago, did something like that again. Only they call it the year of the King James Bible. They actually made it specific. But that was Kentucky. And that's good, that's good. But that's rare, that's rare. Here's a guy named Artaxerxes, verse 11. And remember, we back up a little bit. The Jews were told by the king Cyrus to rebuild the temple, so they started doing that. In chapter 4, some lesser politicians stopped the work. So the people got scared and stopped. And then Haggai and Zechariah said, get back to the work. And so they did. And then at that time, they said, they approached this Artaxerxes guys, please do a study of the law. Go into the archives and let's find out who really authorized the building of this temple. And in his research, they found out Cyrus did. Man, that was big stuff. And so now he himself is going to reinforce it. So that's what we're reading in verse 11. So we're reading the copy of a political decree by this Artaxerxes that was placed in the Bible. So in verse 11, and now this is a copy of the letter that the king Artaxerxes gave unto Ezra the priest. So there are friends. The scribe. You can see the word scribe if you stretch it. Scripture. Scribe scripture. That's what his job was to be. Even a scribe of the words of the commandment of the Lord and of his statutes to Israel. Okay, statutes, we still use that word in that room over there, is the Indiana Code. It's the volume set of Indiana Code. And the code is a organized volume of the statutes of Indiana. The code is different than the statutes, but that's what the police officer would charge you with. And that's another argument you can bring in court too, which I tried. And so in that statutes, in the volume number one, it said the hierarchy of law in the state of Indiana is the statutes of Indiana, the Constitution of Indiana, the statutes of the United States of America, and the Constitution of the United States of America. And then the fourth one is the common law under King James the First. That's in the hierarchy of law. Isn't that, I can show you right where it's at. Common law of King James, that's King James. The oldest English establishment in this country is Jamestown, Virginia. It's the oldest established one named after King James. So that's part of the foundation of our country. People try to say it's secular, but no way. Okay, then here's how they usually do a statute. Artaxerxes, King of Kings, you know, really got to kind of, you know, puff them up. Unto Ezra the priest. So this would be a private law, and Congress does have private laws. They do this every week, usually on a Friday night, and it's really corny stuff. Private law would be everybody left-handed with red hair gets a government handout on this day, and some congressman and some senator will sign it, and then they'll make a motion. Do we accept all the private laws? And yeah, we accept all the private. And then if a guy's left-handed and got red hair in a certain state, then he gets that government benefit. But you got to know all those. Those are usually political favors in a state. So he's got Ezra the priest, a scribe of the law of the God of heaven. Well, that's pretty good. Perfect peace. Wow, that's pretty good statement. Pretty good idea. And at such a time, I make a decree. Okay, so this is like when a judge issues a decree from the bench, but it's not valid until he signs it. I make a decree that all they of the people of Israel and of his priests and Levites in my realm, Artaxerxes, which are minded of their own free will to go up to Jerusalem, go with thee. Well, wow, that is not usual. Free will. This is what makes biblical Christianity unique. Free will. The Lord wants each of us to freely choose of our free will. He is not going to force himself on anybody. And that tells you a lot about a faith. Is the Muslim faith a faith of tyranny? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, have you read about the Dark Ages? Is the Catholic faith a faith of tyranny? When in the majority, when in the minority, they will kind of come in quietly. Okay, it is a religion of tyranny. You read the history of World War II and the Croatians and the Serbians. Avril Manhattan's published a lot of this. He's got pictures and everything about that. Okay, I know as far as people go, they often try to put the fear in others, scare them. Okay, but God wants us to freely want him. It's a free choice. That's what he offers, free will. See that? That's a Bible term in verse 13, free will. Now, one group or faction of Christianity will be Calvinist, and they believe that you and I don't have a free will. So in order things work in their system of Christianity, God has to force himself on us. But that goes contrary to Scripture. Okay, so this says free will. Now, this is unusual for a political figurehead. Have you ever heard of the bully pulpit? Most political laws are designed to scare you into obedience. Okay, Heidi went to church yesterday, but she had to watch for the coppers in Australia, because if she would have gotten stopped outside of her radius in that area, she could have gotten a $3,000 to $5,000 fine. Okay, that's Australia right now. And she chanced it, and she got back home. Okay, and it's a small church that the pastor has stood up and said, no, you're not going to tell me what to do. And they have arrested a young fella on occasion. Let him go. The Aussies' attitude is that they think that they're going to kick this stuff out of court when it gets there. But we'll have to see. But fortunately, she didn't get stopped. But still, taking a chance for that. That's something. We were praying. My wife and I was praying a little bit about that. So in verse 13, it says, mind of their own free will. So that's very significant and unusual for a political document. 14, for as much as thou art sent of the king, thou, Ezra, and of his seven counselors to inquire concerning Judah and Jerusalem according to the law of thy God which is in thine hand, and to carry the silver and the gold which the king and his counselors have freely offered. So he's actually giving of his own money. Wow, that's something. You remember a while back when Al Gore ran for president, they checked his contributions of his bunch of money that he brings in. Oh, he gave a whole $500 to, charitable organization. $500. I mean, guys, his utility bill down there in Nashville, Tennessee is $20,000 a year. Him and the green movement. I mean, what a thing. What a hypocrite. Okay, and so he's got gold and silver, which the king and his council have freely offered unto the God of Israel, whose habitation in Jerusalem. What? If a politician did that today, wouldn't people be upset? Verse 16, all the silver and the gold that thou canst find in all the province of Babylon with the free will offering of the people. Again, it's a free will. This is unique to the Lord Jesus Christ. Free will. Offering of the people. It didn't force them, didn't guilt them. People gave freely to this project. And of the priests offering willingly for their house and their God, which is in Jerusalem. Willingly. Very important term in the Bible. Willingly. If people don't see what's going on with COVID after 18 months, they are willfully ignorant. They are blind spoon-fed media. I mean, you got so much stuff going on. Somebody was telling me that ABC just kind of conducted a little poll of getting people to call in about people who died from COVID, and they had so many called in because people died from the vaccine. They couldn't even keep up with it. Didn't die from COVID, they died from the vaccine. Where is the media outlet on this? Okay, and so we're reading over and over the idea of willingness. 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 Verse 17, that thou mayest buy speedily with this money bullocks, rams, lambs, with their meat offerings, their drink offerings, and offer them upon the altar of the house of your God, which is in Jerusalem. Okay, so that's following Leviticus. That's the animal sacrifices. And whatsoever shall seem good to thee and to thy brethren to do with the rest of the silver and the gold, that do after the will of your God. So he entrusted Ezra. Ezra's heart's right. So he said, okay, just use this for the service. And if you got extra, you just decide what the Lord wants you to do with it. The vessels also that are given thee for the service of the house of God, those deliver thou before the God of Jerusalem. And whatsoever more shall be needful for the house of thy God, which thou shalt have occasion to bestow, bestow it out of the king's treasure house. Wow, that's unusual. That's really an exception. And I, even I, Artaxerxes, the king, do make a decree to all the treasures which are beyond the river, and whatsoever Ezra the priest, the scribe of the law of the God of heaven, shall require of thee, it to be done speedily. Unto 100 talents of silver, to 100 measures of wheat, to 100 baths of wine. Okay, we don't know what a bath is in our culture, but it's obviously some sort of maybe a gallon or, you know, a barrel or some measuring for liquid, 100 baths of wine and 100 baths of oil and salt without prescribing how much. Whatsoever is commanded by the God of heaven, let it be diligently done for the house of the God of heaven, for why should there be wrath against the realm of the king and his sons? So this king is seeking to please God. Now, he's doing pretty good so far as the free will, the free will, the free will, doing great. 24, also we certify you. Now, certifying something is a legal thing. Okay, it is often used in legal documents, certifying. Okay, you ever send a letter certified mail? Okay, it's fun to send certified mail. It scares people on the other end. That's when you got that little green card and they got a sign that they received this thing. My last one I did 2 weeks ago and it netted me $980 back to me, which should have been. So praise the Lord, it worked. And there was nothing I was going to do afterwards because it's from the state of Ohio. I would have had to take it to federal. Who's going to do that for $980? But my certified letter, it got their attention and they sent me the money back, which they shouldn't have took it first time. But still, we got it back. Praise the Lord. And it was simply because of a certified letter. There's power in that. Okay, so this certified in verse 24, that touching any of the priests and Levites, singers, porters, nethinims, or ministers of this house of God, it shall not be lawful to impose toll, tribute, or custom upon them. So this is where we get the idea of a church is non-taxable. Okay, the idea of that is designed because the church should be helping people morally. You should have less criminals because of a church. Hence, you shouldn't be taxing a church. And this is in American custom, but here it was introduced into the nation of Cyrus, Media, Persia. Then he says, 25, and thou, Ezra, after the wisdom of thy God that is in thine hand. That's kind of a strange way of saying that. But he is recognizing that Ezra is true to his God. And then he says, set magistrates and judges, which may judge all the people that are beyond the river, that's the Jordan, all such as know the laws of thy God, and teach ye them that know them not. So that's what they did under the Jewish covenant. Now, I think he's doing great so far, but his political leanings seem to step out in verse 26, where he brings out the bully pulpit. And whosoever will not do the law of thy God and the law of the king, let judgment be executed speedily upon him. Oh, okay. Who decides that? And what law are you talking about? That's pretty generic there. Be executed speedily upon him, whether it be unto death or to banishment or to confiscation of goods or to imprisonment. Hopefully that would fall in line with the Jewish laws. Okay, but still, you do have to have justice in there. And that's pretty generic coming through there. And you can see that a person could be stretching on that. But still, the Bible does endorse the death sentence for capital offenses, okay, where the Jewish law does this, not accidental death, but murder in the first degree and so forth and so on, and you have a proper trial and everything. So in verse 26, he does throw in that where Jesus said that the kingdom of heaven operates by violence. So from verse 11 to 26, we read the Bible account of a law that was written, about 500 BC, maybe around that range. And a lot of times people read laws and they say we can't understand them. I recognize sometimes that because that keeps lawyers in business. But hey, if they can understand it, you can understand it, because some of the attorneys I've met aren't the sharpest knife in a drawer. Read it. Read the Constitution. How many people have read the Declaration of Independence? We ought to read that. And we find tremendous history in American history. So there it is. It's pretty self-explanatory what he said. And then in verse 27, this king wants to give a blessing to Ezra. And he says, "Blessed be the Lord God of our fathers, which hath put such a thing as it is in the king's heart." Okay, maybe Ezra has given it to him to beautify the house of the Lord, which is in Jerusalem. And boy, is that not true? I mean, it's an amazing thing. Can you imagine Biden saying something like this? He doesn't even know what the book of Psalms is. He called it in the book of Palms. The Palmist said, come on, fella. The largest book in the Bible and you call it Palmist? I mean, what a thing. He apparently couldn't even hold it right side up. And it's an amazing thing. And so to have a political figurehead do something like this in our culture, would not people be screaming separation church and state? They'd be screaming that. But why is it that the liberals and the woke society have their freedom to say what they want? Hello, it's people like us that fought. The people in the beginning of America were the Baptists and the nonconformists that fought for freedom of speech. It wasn't for them, they couldn't say that today. Send all the woke over to Saudi Arabia, let them spout off their mouth there. They don't have that freedom over there. It was America where Christians established freedom of speech for everybody. Why? Because we're not intimidated by it. We know truth stands alone. I mean, that's a beautiful thing of it. So that's what he says. And then he says, 20, and hath extended mercy unto me, Ezra, before the king and his counselors and before all the king's mighty princes. And I was strengthened as the hand of the Lord my God was upon me. And I gathered together out of Israel chief men to go up with me. Okay, so there was the legal authority given to him, and he had the Jewish authority. And now in chapter 8, 9, and 10, he's going to fulfill what he's been asked to do. And so we'll pick that up at another time. Anybody remember Batman next week at the same bat time, at the same bat channel? Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I do thank you for your words, and I do pray that you'd help us to be good students of your words. We thank you for them, and we thank you for this history that Ezra was able to receive. We thank you for the testimony of Artaxerxes, and I am certain that he's glad that he did that. In Jesus' name, amen.